This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. I'm joined today by one of our regular and most listened to guests, Rick Kess. Rick is a partner at RSM. RSM is the leading sort of firm in the private equity advisory space, just a brilliant collection of leaders there. Rick, take a second. Tell us a little bit about what are the few issues you're watching currently in this era of tremendously busy private equity investing, tremendous growth in assets under management. Seems like I can't turn around and find somebody that doesn't have $10 billion in assets under management, up to $730 billion in assets under management. He's with the leader yesterday, a great private equity fund, DPG, there's $100 billion in assets under management, wherever the number is currently. But it just seems like there's so much money going after things. What are you sort of watching in the private equity space today? What do you see?
Yeah, Scott, it's interesting. You know, I think we obviously track the dry powder or money on the sidelines that, you know, is ready to go be invested and kind of try to think about where that might go. And, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of interesting noise kind of in the ecosystem right now that we also monitor. I mean, I think the big thing that we keep kind of watching and trying to figure out how it will impact private equity is inflation, and really, you know, from a jobs perspective, the ability to hire and find resources. So I think to me, you know, when I look at inflation, the thing that I think creates some noise in there for us is what the consumer thinks about inflation and how important the U.S. consumer is to our economy. And if, you know, if their trust and, you know, their belief is that inflation is going to be a major headwind and they stop spending money, you know, I think a lot of industries start to feel the effect of that. So I think our major theme right now is trying to understand how inflation and consumer sentiment will impact really kind of the overall global economy and then how that impacts private equity from there.
And let me ask you guys about a couple related macro trends. I mean, currently, if a consumer wants to buy a car or wants to buy a house, they almost can't do so. I mean, houses are at a record low of inventory getting sold in a week. Cars, when you drive by car lots, it's frightening. It reminds you of the 60s or 70s when things were just like, you know, things were just falling apart. There's no cars on the lot. So where does that put the consumer spending? Does that make them spend on all kinds of other things? Or what does that do? What does that do to consumer spending?
Yeah, you know, I think yesterday I read that the average used car price went up $6,000 in 1 year, from like $23,000 to $29,000. You know, and that, I think, you know, I think you're right, Scott, you know, the ability for, you know, auto producers to produce new vehicles has been contracted because of their ability to find, you know, the supply chain that they need. So that's just driving up the cost of used cars, you know. And I think if you look at houses, you know, I think, you know, you look at, you know, where can you go from there? You know, so you look at rental property and you think of, you know, pricing of apartments and condos and things like that. And you see increased pressure there too. So, you know, I think the constraint on supply of, you know, some of those big ticket items has just pushed people to spend money on other things, maybe that they didn't even want to. You know, maybe they don't want to continue renting their apartment, but they don't have a choice because they can't find a house to buy. So, you know, that's the unfortunate thing is, you know, I think the inflationary impact on the economy, you know, it sometimes creates these, you know, unexpected, you know, bubbles in other markets because you can't find the thing that you want. So you have to find the kind of the next best product.
I mean, 100%. And the housing thing is, anybody can look at their house and say, oh my God, the value's way up. It's like selling a company. But then you have to find a place to buy a new house or rent a place. And that's going to be way up as well. So a very complex consumer environment. And I look at this when I'm in stores now and with Christmas coming up thinking this is going to be a debacle just because the stores typically by this point, you know, if you're in a Nordstrom, you're in someplace else, it is just packed with stuff. And it's not right now. It's just the start of the holiday season. So it seems like a very, you know, daunting period of time we're to go through in terms of inflation and so forth, because it will jack the prices up for things because people did. So that's one issue that we're watching, is inflation and the impact. I mean, the private debt funds seem to be really rocking it against the sort of odds. Like, they've kept their price point on lending money up at, you know, 8 to 10% or so, even at a time when the Fed funds rate is so low. So, and they're still able to lend that money out, it seems like. What's your sense of the private debt, private credit market? And obviously, you see private equity funds keep on doubling down on private debt and private credit. But God knows where all that liquidity goes. I guess it goes into recaps and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're seeing from our clients is, you know, their ability to find capital, you know, through lending is pretty good. You know, like if they need to go find private debt, they can get it. They can usually find it at a pretty decent rate as compared to maybe what they saw in, you know, the early 2010s. And, you know, I think that is an ability for them to kind of continue to use other sources of capital versus, you know, equity, you know, from a private equity group or some other, you know, mezz organization that might invest in them. So, you know, from a capital planning perspective, I know a lot of our clients that are, you know, looking at, you know, capital from lending versus equity and finding that as an attractive way to get new money, just because, like you said, the rate isn't terrible and there is fairly good access to it, as long as you're not, you know, an incredibly troubled company. You know, I think, you know, as that changes pretty quickly if the company's trajectory isn't positive, or, you know, they're not being able to grow, or they're not being able to find new targets for acquisition. You know, some of those things, you know, if you have some of those in your fact pattern, finding debt becomes incredibly hard. But if you're a pretty successful company that's growing at a pretty decent rate, your ability to get debt right now is pretty significantly easier than maybe what they saw, you know, 10 years ago.
No, so interesting. We've talked about sort of consumer impact inflation and consumer impact of what that does to different private equity opportunities, particularly those that are driven by the consumers. We've talked about the private debt credit market, which just is fascinating. And, you know, again, saw Oak Hill Advisors sold their private debt business to T. Rowe Price for $4 or $5 billion and $54 billion in assets under management. We see just lots of different growth of the private debt, private credit funds. What other trends are you watching? We talked about consumers, inflation, we talked about private debt funds. What else are you watching currently?
You know, I think the other big thing that we keep just, you know, our eye on, because it literally comes up in every conversation we have with any executive of a company or any, you know, fund manager, is, you know, talent and how they're able to source talent. You know, I got a call the other day from a private equity portfolio company that lost their CFO. The CFO found a new position and is getting paid relatively close to double what they were getting paid by this private equity portfolio company. And, you know, they're struggling because they're trying to find somebody to come in and take that role. And it's an incredibly difficult challenge to find people with the right skills at the right place and the right time. And so I think, you know, we're just seeing a lot of our clients look at alternative ways of sourcing talent, whether it's outsourcing, whether it's trying to become more efficient in their own processes by using automation or something of that nature. So, you know, I think clients that we have that are trying to look at this from a strategic perspective are trying to figure out, you know, how do they use this as an opportunity to reform how they do their work so that they can become more efficient and use less human capital, because in some respects, that's just as bad or maybe worse than the supply chain issues you were mentioning before and their ability to grow. So, you know, I do think, you know, the forward looking really strategic companies out there are looking at this and saying, you know, how do we use this to leapfrog our competition by using technology or outsourcing or some other sort of access to talent. So I think that's the other major kind of global impact that we're continuing to monitor.
And the outsourcing side for C-suite people, typically not a CEO, though you will see companies use interim CEOs that are on their bench or that they know or that are operating partners and so forth. On the CFO spots, these other spots, more and more outsourcing, are you seeing a lot of that? And obviously you pay a premium for it. It's often short term. You don't have them quite as integrated into the firm. But are you seeing a lot of that CFO outsourcing?
You know, we're seeing it become more and more common, or at least discussed as an option. You know, I think for the reasons you mentioned, Scott, a lot of our clients try to avoid outsourcing, you know, at a C-suite level. But, you know, for some of our clients, in particular, those that are going through some turmoil, you know, if they're having challenges and, you know, are having to reform who they are or how they do what they do or what products they bring to the market, you know, then I think, you know, looking at outsourcing becomes pretty important, because, you know, a lot of times those folks that are in that, you know, in that business, if you will, of doing short-term interim, you know, CFOs or COOs roles, those folks know how to turn around businesses and they're familiar with it. They understand the process. They don't have the you know, kind of the capital invested, intellectual capital invested in the previous plan. And, you know, so they're able to kind of come in and change things quickly. And sometimes it's painful for people around them because these people, you know, perhaps don't have that same, you know, connection to the organization or to the fabric of who they are. But, you know, a lot of times they have the ability of making quick changes that can impact the business in a positive way. So, you know, I do think in the right circumstances, using outsourced talent can be the right move for a lot of private equity companies that we work with.
No, fantastic. Hey, Rick, I want to thank you for joining us today. We talked about private debt, credit, consumers, inflation, staffing, outsourcing. I appreciate so much your thoughts and intelligence with us on the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thank you for joining us again today. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Scott.